It is Wednesday, March the 13th. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I wanted to start out by giving the usual shout out to all the patrons of the podcast before I get too far into today. So again, as a reminder, Patreon is it's a place for creators, so people that really want to make a make essentially a contribution or a donation to the podcast. They get value out of the podcast. You can go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. So special shout out to Kim, Barb, Arnie, Helen, Sarah, Kristen, Stan. Thank you all so much for contributing to the podcast. The other way that you can support the show is by leaving us a review on iTunes. If you listen on an Apple device, an iDevice of any kind, just go to tap write a review, tap 5 stars, tell everybody what you think of the show. And of course, you can always leave or give us a like on Facebook. Excuse me, it's been a wild couple of weeks, and I'll go over that in a second. But you can leave us a review on Facebook, so that would certainly be well appreciated as well. So I come to you from my hotel room in Schaumburg, Illinois. I am out here again for a work trip. I've got another one in 2 months, and then hopefully that is going to be it for a long while. So it's been kind of crazy. So last week, I was in Maui, Hawaii, with my family. It was an amazing trip. And then we landed about 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night. And then we went home, got home about 2 o'clock. The clocks changed 1 hour, so it became 3 o'clock. And then my alarm went off somewhere around 10. I went to the grocery store, went shopping, came back, repacked, left for the airport again about 12 or 12:30. To come out here to Schaumburg, and I go back Friday night. So I think maybe the wildest part is the 6 hours worth of time difference from Hawaii to out here in Chicago. So basically, when I was just kind of wired when I got off the plane here in Chicago. I got to the hotel about 10 o'clock and went right to the gym, and I got in a hell of a workout there for about 45 minutes or so. Went to bed around 11:15. Woke up for my class at about 7:45 in the morning, and then I've been able to hit the gym yesterday as well as today as I record this, which it's Tuesday. So it's been good to get back in the swing of things and do all that kind of stuff, but I am certainly looking forward to going home, sleeping in my own bed, being with my kids, being with my wife. And actually, as I record this on Tuesday the 12th, it is my wife and I's 8-year wedding anniversary. So it's really been pretty awesome. Over the last 8 years, obviously, we've both evolved in a lot of ways, and this podcast and TMS and chronic pain and all that kind of stuff has certainly been a big part of it, obviously. And actually, it's interesting. I went over to the Whole Foods here in Schaumburg and somehow dropped $43 on dinner. I was very, very hungry, but that also has a lot to do with me just not having concept of what a pound feels like. Because I went to the hot bar, got a bunch of different things, like different types of rices and meatballs and chicken and all that kind of stuff, and made a salad for myself, and then even got some of the sushi that I thought would be good. And no offense to the people in the Midwest, but my God, I think I live in like the sushi capital of the United States in Seattle, so I'm pretty pretty spoiled in that way. And this stuff was just not good. I ate 2 of the 9 pieces, and then ultimately threw it away. But I had texted my wife and she said, "Do you remember when Whole Foods made you really sick several years ago? This was like 2015." And I went to the hot bar there, got what I thought was food poisoning, but thinking back, I told her, you know, that could have been a TMS thing as well. It was like a one-day flu-like symptoms, but this was also the week before a weightlifting competition I'd been training for months for, and also was right at the end of a quarter at work. And I've talked a lot on this show about going home and making a list of any time that I had symptomatology, basically from 2012 or 2013 all the way until I found Dr. Sarno's book. And like clockwork, it was like basically at the end of every quarter I had some kind of an issue. Could have been stomach problems, could have been elbow problems, knee problems. Really pretty amazing, the whole manifestation like that, and the way that kind of it all shook out. So originally I was going to air an interview today with Jessica Shahinian. However, I'm going to air that, I'm thinking, probably the week of April 3rd is when it's going to air. And Thursday, so as you listen to this, it'll be tomorrow, but for me right now, 2 days from now, Caitlin Michaels is coming to town. We have this set up now to where we are going to be doing a podcast together. So you can either listen on her feed or on my feed next week. It'll be the exact same show. But basically, we're going to sit down for hour and a half, 2 hours, and do a killer podcast together on all of this stuff. So what I thought would be really fun for today, though, was, okay, so I read The Great Pain Deception by Steve Ozanich a year and a half ago, and I had read it, and, you know, when I read it, I didn't have the, you know, a lot of times when we read these books, we kind of look for this resolution of pain immediately. Basically, my entire journey has been a collection of read a book, get a little bit more knowledge, read another book, acquire a little bit more knowledge, try a couple of things, and then you kind of go through that cycle of like belief and doubt and belief and all that kind of stuff. And I've had absolution of the majority of my symptoms for a while now. But every once in a while, right, I get my back will tighten up, or you know, my stomach will start acting weird again. Could be anything. And recently, I think one thing that a lot of people always look for is that they'll say, like, what is a blueprint? How can I solve this problem? You know, I read the books. I read Dr. Sarno's book. It didn't tell me what to do. Or I've journaled every day for a year and nothing has happened. And I don't know how I never discovered this before, but in the back of Steve Ozanich's book, I'm looking at this on the Kindle, and it tells me it's location 7,827. So that's not a corresponding page. I actually don't even see a page on here. But it's Appendix B, and it's called TMS, A Healing Checklist. And as I've read this and reread it, I see this as good of a blueprint for solving chronic pain as there possibly could be. So what I thought would be kind of cool is going through the different bullets, maybe expanding them on them a little bit, talking a little bit about what they mean to me, and maybe some ways and some things that you can do to essentially expand upon them and use them in your own life. There's a couple of things in here that you're probably not doing, even if you're somebody that says, I've been doing all the work, I've been journaling, but are you doing everything that's in here? He really, honest to goodness, checks just about every box. So let's kind of go through that. It's not going to be an incredibly long episode today. The next 1, 2, 3 weeks, I think you're going to get an interview of some kind. So so this will be good to kind of go through and go through Steve-O's healing checklist. So the first thing he says is, do you follow that your symptoms are from an unfelt psychological process? To me, this is kind of TMS 101. You've read the books. You understand that. But you need to have the full belief that your symptoms are from an unfelt psychological process. And again, you don't need to know what that emotion is. And I think a lot of people try and dig and dig and dig and dig, discover that one principal emotion. I think it's going to be very, very tough to find. And the bulk of people that heal probably never even know what it was. So do you fully believe that your symptoms are from an unfelt psychological process? Do you realize that you have a hidden temper? So this goes to the unconscious rage thing. So you don't need to express the temper. You don't need to go and kick your dog or punch a window or whatever people do for their anger, but realizing that you have a hidden temper. That's the unconscious anger, unconscious rage. Just realizing that it's there is really essentially pretty much all that you need to do. Are you reflecting on what events may be triggering your pain? Steve Ozanich in his book has this moment where he talks about when you get pain or when you get a flare-up or whatever it is, think about the events that are happening right at that time or just leading up to that time. And I can think about over the last couple of years, even times where there's just been a little acute pain that has gone away in a few hours. And I do some somatic tracking or something like that. But basically, when I start getting something that's coming up, I start thinking about some of the events that happened in the hours leading up to it or the day or two leading up to it. And I can inevitably find something. And whether it's a huge event, which it usually is not, or it's just a little event, could be the smallest of things, it's certainly there. It could be that my daughter was upset because a friend said that they didn't want to be her friend anymore, right? Could be just about anything. But the main thing is, like, are you reflecting on what events may be triggering your pain? And sometimes even just digging through your own mind a little bit can be enough. So have you set a short-term physical goal or set short-term physical goals? This could be just about anything. For me, it might be squatting 320 pounds. That might be a short 3-month goal or something like that. It could even be a week thing. If it's just, hey, I want to get to the gym this week one time. I want to get to the gym 5 times. I want to work out 5 days in a row. Could be a lot of different things. Go on a hike, but it's got to be a physical goal, something that you can go and do. Maybe you start DDP yoga. Maybe there's a variety of things that you can do, but having it be physically rooted. Again, Dr. Sarno had said that his thought, and I agree with his words on this, is that one of the first things you need to do is get back to full physical activity. The more rigorous, the better. And I agree with that. Have you forgiven any past grievances? This is tough. I know for a lot of people holding some kind of a grudge, but really just what you, you know, this is more about for you than for the person of the situation that you're forgiving. Because the longer that you hold on to it, the longer that your nervous system is reacting to it. You know, again, I've talked about this recently, but that phrase, it is what it is, which I hated for so many years, is really sort of perfect in these kind of instances. Somebody wronged you in the past, look, like, it is what it is. They did it because of some kind of an issue with them, not because of some kind of an issue with you. So just think about that. Are you safely off any meds that may be triggering your pain through association? Talk to a doctor before weaning off any sort of serious medication. I came off of asthma and allergy medication back in August completely. I just went cold turkey. It wasn't something that was a life or death thing, but I hadn't changed at all. Nothing changed by me doing that. So tells me that I didn't need it. Didn't need it all along. Are you decreasing your mental chatter through relaxation techniques? Could be meditation, could be yoga, could just be mindfulness, sitting there for 5 minutes, breathing exercises, which I'm going to get into that in a couple of minutes. But just a place where you can quiet your mind. We have so many things rushing through our brain. What do I got to do for work? What do I got to do for school? Are my kids going insane? Did I leave the lights on in the car? Like, just doing something, 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, whatever sort of you have time for, just something where you can stop the mental chatter. Are you excited about healing and good health? There's far too much, I want to heal, or 2019 will be the year where I'll be pain-free. Like, you got to be excited about it, more than just saying it. And a lot of those things, you can intertwine some of these things too. I think about literally making plans for something. Maybe it's going on a trip, like, you know, committing to something, because you're going to be excited about that something, and it's going to be physical, and you've got to go and do it, and ultimately you want to have good health. So just, you know, being overall excited about things is really, it gives you something to look forward to. It could be little, could be big, just something. Maybe go camping this summer. Make that a goal. Are you actively imagining yourself as symptom-free and happy? I think this just has a lot to do with using some visualization techniques, essentially being able to see yourself as, like, if your physical goal is that I want to go running for 1 mile within the next month or 2 months or whatever it is, imagine yourself doing that run with no symptoms. Steve Ozanich in his book talked a lot about when he would run, he would, like, imagine the discs in his spine being of perfect symmetry and that he's running on clouds and all this kind of stuff. You can get a lot of benefit from essentially giving visualization to your mind so your mind has something to latch on to, as opposed to sitting there and thinking my body's broken and thinking about quote-unquote trigger points that are somewhere in your back or your neck or whatever the case is. It's not serving you any well to sit there and imagine the worst that could happen. There's people in my life that do this, and I think it's just really the worst of the worst in terms of things that they can do. Are you performing a daily transparent act for its own sake and not for any other purpose? I think of this as like, can you do an act of giving or an act of kindness for which you're not going to get any kind of a reward out of it? Maybe it's something where somebody could never repay you, or maybe it's just doing something kind to which there's not an ulterior motive. I'll give you an example. So I was on a plane ride on Sunday coming here to Schaumburg, and there was a woman beside me. I was sort of eavesdropping on her cell phone conversation, but she'd asked me to get up just as the plane was taking off and pulled her iPad out of her overhead bin, sat down. She was on the phone with her boyfriend, told him that she had forgot her headphones at home and was sort of pissed about it. You know, it's a 4-hour and 10-minute flight, and to not have any sort of headphones for music or a movie or anything like that, just, it sucks. So I happen to have an extra pair of headphones. So she got off the phone and I asked her, hey, did you forget your headphones? And she said, yes. And so I lent her my pair of over the ear cup style Bluetooth headphones. And she was so thankful for that. And you know, her being able to actually have this, the headphones stayed alive throughout the entire flight. And I just thought about, like, God, how nice would I feel if somebody did that for me? So just, you know, picking something. A lot of times, like, every Sunday, certainly, when I go and pick up coffee for my wife, I will almost always, at least once per weekend, pay it forward or pay it backward, I guess. But I'll buy the coffee of the person that is behind me, this that they've ordered, but I'll do it in a drive-thru. They never see. So by the time that the barista has told them, hey, your coffee's been paid for by the person who's in front of you. I'm like long gone out of the parking lot. So those are things that I think of in terms of transparent act for its own sake and not for any other purpose. So some kind of an act of kindness that somebody doesn't need to repay you for. Have you changed your daily routine and habits? At first, I was thinking, what have I done recently that has accomplished this? And then I thought about switching to the 6 a.m. CrossFit class. And super hard to do in the beginning, but as time went on, this has become a habit. And it's become really fun, right? It's like getting out of bed. Even here in Illinois, where it's 2 hours ahead, like this morning's a good example, the alarm went off at 5:20 or 5:25, and I even turned the alarm off. I fell back asleep for 2.5 minutes, and then I was like, okay, I got to do this. I did a little breathing exercise. Took me 76 seconds, and I'll get into that in a second, or in a minute. And then I was off to the races. I had a killer workout. So, you know, at 3:50 a.m. on the West Coast, what I'm used to, I was in the gym and I was killing it. And I feel like that just sort of helps prepare me for what's coming in the day. So I was super happy that I got to do that. Do you understand that you have a demanding superego? So as a reminder, a psychological reminder, the superego is the part of a person's mind that acts as a self-critical conscience reflecting social standards that are learned from parents and teachers. For example, the father is the model for the superego. So this is basically like, what did you observe your parents doing? If your parents were always making you be very orderly and dress in a certain way, like, and then later on in life you go out and you're a female and you want to dress a little bit risque, you're going out to a concert or something like that, and you have this little voice that's in your head saying, no, we don't do that here. That's the superego telling you what to do and what not to do. So understanding that that kind of thing exists, you don't need to solve it, you don't need to eliminate it, but just understanding that it's there oftentimes is going to be a great step for you. Are you physically moving and oxygenating your system through healthy exercise? Again, I've talked about it a bazillion times. This is episode 61 of the podcast. I've probably mentioned it in 40 episodes or more that getting back to physical activity is going to be so good for you. I like CrossFit, high intensity interval training, that kind of thing, weightlifting, but something that can just get you going. Could be walking briskly, could be going on a hike, but something that's really just going to get you really moving is going to be awesome. Are you eating healthily and hydrating? Look, like maybe it's because I've been an athlete for a long time, but when I eat like total shit, I feel like total shit. And I also make sure that I drink a ton of water. Just really like these aren't necessarily physical cures, but ultimately you're developing healthy habits and this is a big piece of it. So for example, when I'm here in Schaumburg, they cater lunches for us. Today it was deep dish pizza and a salad. I opted to just have the salad. Yesterday, however, though, it was like basmati rice with some Middle Eastern types of like chickens and beefs and stuff like that. And that I was all over that. I love the just like literally like meat and rice. I could eat that all the time. That's my thing. So and usually I'll have somewhere between, I don't know, 100 to 120 ounces of water a day. I always keep a canteen with you. I always like to. Are you laughing each day at life's absurdities? So laughing each day is a big one. Literally could just be like, I watch The View with my wife and there's some stuff in there that I laugh pretty hard at. But, you know, ultimately laughing at just stupid shit too, which is what we did when we were kids and young teenagers. You know, we just laugh at stupid shit and that can be so therapeutic. Just, you know, life is absurd. Life doesn't need to be so serious all the time. Ultimately, like just being able to make a joke and have a good time and laugh and not take life so seriously can be really critical for you. So are you taking a moment each night to be appreciative of at least three things before you sleep? I feel like I do this a lot. I don't necessarily do it at night before I go to sleep, but maybe that's a good thing to do. Appreciative for my wife, appreciative for my kids, appreciative for my health, appreciative for my badass motorcycle, appreciative for the fact that I have AirPods that I love so much. Appreciative of the fact that Vans shoes seem to fit me really well, 9.5, so I love Vans. There's a variety of things that you can pick, guys, so there's got to be three things you can find. Are you taking a moment before sleep to visualize a symptom-free vessel for the very next day? So this can go hand in hand with having physical activity for the next day. I feel like this is sort of an overarching theme of all this other stuff that I've been talking about, but being able to visualize your body as this healthy being before you go to sleep. You're that moment right before you go to sleep is the alpha brain state, essentially. And so your body and your mind are going to be much more influential or influenced by the things that you are telling it and visualizing to it at that particular time. So take advantage of that for sure. Are you consciously forcing your mind away from your symptom? So the more that we think about things, the more that they can manifest. I told an example, I can't remember if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, but sometimes I'll sit there and I'll say, wow, Eddie, you haven't been sick in so long. I really hope you don't get sick. And then inevitably, I wake up the next day or a couple days later with some kind of a cold, right? It's like, damn it. So if you're thinking about your symptoms, you need to move away from that and essentially not give it any attention. Are you expanding your lung capacity through conscious breathing techniques? This is a big one. I feel like this is a really big one. There's a doctor, Dr. Andrew Weil. It's W-E-I-L. He's a Stanford-trained medical doctor. You can find a lot of his material on the internet, obviously. Steve Ozanet cites him a lot, but there's a really great video on YouTube where he goes over what's called the 4-7-8 breathing practice. And it's something that he has you do for 4 rounds, 2 times per day, takes 76 seconds each time. So you're talking about 156 seconds of your day, maybe once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the morning, or once at night, can really be therapeutic. So the last couple days when I've been getting up super early to go and get in a workout, I do this after the alarm goes off. And then I get up and hit like a cold shower or something and then go to the gym, and it's been awesome. So go and look that up on YouTube, the 4-7-8 breathing technique, Dr. Andrew Weil. You'll find it, and it's pretty cool. Do you get that physical exam in order to destroy any doubt in the TMS process? Look, I think you can go to a doctor and find a diagnosis for just about anything. This is the major, major, major stuff. Do you have a broken bone? Do you have an infection? Do you have a tumor? Do you have cancer? There's a variety of things that of course you could have, but in most cases of people that have chronic pain, the majority of cases that can't be solved through a blood test or aren't a tumor or cancer, things like that, there's some kind of nervous system reaction to what's going on. You could have an autoimmune disorder. Something in your nervous system is going haywire. And ultimately, you need to have that physical exam to rule out any sort of a fear of a tumor or a cancer or an infection or things like that. Have you slowed your negative internal language? Beating yourself up, Nicole Sachs said this on a podcast 2 years ago with me, where she said, if you sit around thinking that you're a piece of shit all day, you're probably a piece of shit. So you need to eliminate that kind of negative language. Are you staying socially engaged? This is something that I consciously try to do now. Go out with my buddies, go out with people that I'm traveling with. Just be social, be more engaged, talk to people, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. It's a big deal. I do this in a big way by going to a CrossFit gym as opposed to working out at home, which is what I was doing for a long time. Any kind of a social club. You can go to meetups.com and it's free. You can find people in your area that are interested in the same kind of stuff as you, but going out and becoming socially engaged is going to be big for you. Have you stopped placating your pain with comfy pillows, chairs, and self-crippling gadgets? I have spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on different mobility tools. And I was thinking about this absurd thing that I wore for the longest time called the bow tie, which was to fix your posture, quote unquote. That was a big old waste of 70 or 80 bucks. But any of these things that are, you know, ergonomically correct, that you feel like are helping alleviate your pain in certain situations, just get rid of them. They're a waste. Are you relaxing your healing time frame, ceasing trying too hard to heal too fast? Just don't set a timeline. Easy enough. Don't say I'm going to be pain-free by next week, or I've got to be pain-free by next week. Ultimately, the more pressure that you put on yourself, that's how you got into this mess in the first place. Are you sticking to your goals? This comes earlier in the podcast that I talked about, but having these short-term goals, are you sticking to them? Are you cognizant of them? Are you continually pursuing them? All going to be big things. Do you want to heal? That needs to be one thing too. There's a great quote in the movie, the documentary Heal, where this woman says, I think it's towards the end of the movie, I don't know who I'm going to be without this pain. It sounds absurd, right? But this weird unconscious secondary gain of being ill or needing more rest, maybe you just want to get some more sleep, like could be anything really, but in a lot of ways, the pain is very much holding you back. In a lot of ways, are you acting on all of the information in this book? So this whole checklist really summed up this very last one. Are you acting on all the information in this book? If you are not actively doing all of this stuff that I just described and doing it every day, thinking about it all the time, or doing it, practicing it all the time, go and read The Great Pain Deception, even if you have already. Read it again. So that's kind of the podcast for this week. This is it's 25 minutes, but I thought this would be a really, really cool thing because it recently came to my attention and just scrolling through the book and finding it. But this is as good of a blueprint as you could possibly get. So with that being said, have a fantastic week. And I'll be back next week you'll hear the simulcast with Caitlin Michaels and I. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great rest of the week.